Hello and welcome to another episode of the Nerd Stash Show. We are on episode number 72. How the hell have we gotten through 70 of these things? Plus two of them. So, I don't know if I already said it. My name is Taylor Cole, and we have just a jam-packed episode. But before we get into any of the topics on today's show, I have to introduce who I'm joined by this week. Once again, I am joined by Riley. Riley, how are you doing?
Today is a good day, Taylor. I was finally able to get my hands on a PlayStation 5 through GameStop, so I'm pretty still riding that wave of excitement. So,
see, you mentioned this in a group chat, and I feel like I'm kind of glad I didn't go into detail. Like, oh, describe your harrowing journey to obtain one of these current gen consoles, because of course, as you know, they are so hard to get your hands on.
Yeah, I mean, it's been insane. And like, so I thought it would be a good idea to not pre-order the console, because for some reason I thought it would be super easy to get on launch day, or if not on launch day, maybe like a month after launch day. Boy, was I wrong. So I tried.
I think everybody kind of had that mindset, by the way. I don't think anybody was like,
yeah,
we're not going to be able to get one 6 months from now. No, we'll still be able to. I think everybody was like, yeah, I'll just wait a few months and get one. It'll probably be easy to get at that point.
Yeah, well, that's been like every other console release in recent memory, right? Is like, if you can't get it right at launch, within maybe like a month or two, you shouldn't have too hard of a time getting it. The only other time that I can think of something similar to this was when the Switch released, and I believe that it was only maybe 3 or 4 months before I got my Switch. And that's just because Nintendo, you know, is famous for artificially, making their consoles scarce. But yeah. It's been difficult. I've tried, you know, every time, not every time, because I kind of got discouraged, but every time I could, going to any site, you know, and it's all constantly sold out. And today I just got lucky. So I'm really excited.
You should be, definitely. Did you get any kind of games for it at all? Like, did you get Spider-Man Miles Morales, Ratchet & Clank, Returnal? We're going to be talking about the studio behind Returnal here in a few minutes.
I had to buy a bundle. That's the only thing I could buy. And the only bundle I could buy came with MLB The Show, which is not really my thing. But it also came with Ratchet & Clank. So I'm excited to play that. And I'm going to see if I can maybe trade in MLB The Show for something else somehow.
Yeah, MLB The Show. I'm not even a baseball fan, and I know everybody was like, yeah, it's a great game, and it's a good game. I also just feel like it was just an off year. Like, the one time Xbox gets it, I feel like was when, you know, the game had an off year. So I get where you're coming from there. We have a ton of stuff, though, on this show, Riley. We're going to have to get into a bunch of news from Bloober Team working with Konami, PlayStation acquired Housemarque, you know, the developer behind Returnal, the latest GTA 6 rumors, Todd Howard's recent Elder Scrolls 6 comments, and a recent addition to this show, we have an update on Dead Space, a reboot of the Dead Space franchise. VentureBeat just released an article that was pretty illuminating of what this franchise is going to be. But before we get into any of that, let's talk about what we're playing this week. Riley, you start us off. What have you been playing?
Yeah, so I haven't been playing much, actually. The main thing I've been playing, again, is Stardew Valley. I picked that back up, I feel like, a couple weeks ago. And I actually started from scratch, because you actually can't change your name, and changing your appearance is very limited, I think, in the game. So I decided to just start over. And I'm glad I did, because a lot of the things I learned from the first kind of playthrough carried over to this one. And, you know, I'm making money hand over fist, and I feel like I'm doing things right. So I'm having a good time playing Stardew. I just added a kitchen onto my house so I can cook things now. I I'm sort of cheating because I'm looking up what the best, like, profitable crops are for every season, but I'm in summer right now.
Not cheating. That's doing your research.
Yeah, right?
Wait, let's be honest here.
I thought so. So I'm in summer of the first year now. I planted a bunch of blueberries. Like, every time the blueberries produce blueberries, every time the plants produce blueberries, which I think, like, if you do it right, can be 3 or 4 times within the season, it's like $10,000. So I'm making a lot of money. I'm having a lot of fun. I'm working on the community center. Yeah, so I've just been playing Stardew Valley. That's kind of it.
I adored Stardew Valley, and I think I came upon the game a few months or a year after its release. I can't really remember. Ever since 2020, everything just blurs together at this point, so that's unfortunate. But I really adored this game. I found it to be very calming, if that makes any sense. Like, it's not that... I'm one of those people who's huge into first-person shooters. I love GTA. I love sports games. I really love a lot of types of games. But a lot of those titles are, like, fast-paced. You gotta be, you know, 100% all the times here. And Stardew Valley is just, you know, kind of this do-at-your-own-leisure kind of game. And I really enjoy it for that reason.
Yeah, totally. It's very calming. Although it can be stressful at the same time, just in that, like, you have time limits every day and also, like, energy limits, so you kind of, like, have to figure out what you're gonna do for the day. But the great thing is, like, you can do anything, and the game will reward you in some way, and it's deep enough where everything that you can do feels good. So no matter what you want to do, you just sort of, like, oh, I want to be a fisher, or I want to mine today, or I want to plant stuff today, or whatever. So, yeah, I really like it for those reasons.
Yeah, even, like, indie games. I feel like sometimes, like, I remember playing Undertale, and while it's, like, more calming than, like, playing Call of Duty, you still have that sense of, oh, I got this boss fight and stuff like that. Whereas, again, Stardew Valley is just literally, like you said, just figure out what you're going to do for that day, plan it out accordingly, get it done, and take your character and get some rest, because you're going to have another day to where you're about to have to meet everybody in town again and talk with them. So I guess I'll move on to what I've been playing. I've been playing Star Wars Battlefront 2. Whenever Nerdstop Movies releases in a few days after this show, you'll hear that I also watched some Star Wars this week as well. I don't know, I'm kind of like on the Star Wars kick right now. And I really enjoy Battlefront 2. I feel like this game's launched so terribly, and I cannot undersell that enough. Like, it was really, really bad when it launched. And I feel like this turnaround has just been fantastic. And I would not be mad if EA, like, came out at EA Play Live in July or months down the road and was like, yeah, we're gonna keep supporting Battlefront 2 because a lot of people are playing it right now. I would really like that announcement if they would love to do that, because this game is fantastic. You can always add more characters like Ahsoka or Cal Kestis or even, you know, the Mandalorian. That would be fantastic. Could you imagine going around as, like, Baby Yoda on the battlefield here?
Yeah, that's really interesting. It's interesting to hear that you're playing this game, actually, because I played the first rebooted Battlefront, right, which launched, I don't remember.
Feels like that felt like a husk of what Battlefront 2 is to me.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that, but it was, especially when I was playing it, like, very bare bones, kind of. But I liked what was there. And then I skipped Battlefront 2 because of all of the controversy, but you're saying that they've, like, updated the game and it's, like, good to play now? Maybe I'll check it out.
There's a lot of content in this game to me. There's a lot to, I don't want to say even really progress towards. It's just one of those games that you'll play one game, one match, and you'll be like, all right, you know what, I'll play another. And then all of a sudden it's, like, 2 hours later and you're like, I have stuff to do. Why did I just spend 2 hours playing Star Wars? Oh, because it was really damn fun. That's why.
Yeah.
And I think that's just a really key part of these Battlefront games. It's what the classic ones were known for.
Yeah.
It's just that insane level of fun. And I really think this game has come a long way in really rebuilding its reputation.
Great to hear you say that, because, like, I'm a huge Star Wars fan, so maybe I'll check it out. Yeah.
So, I don't really have a segue for this. I wanted to say, you know who's not doing a great job rebuilding its reputation, but I felt a little too harsh. But let's get into our stories of the week, and let's start with a Konami story. Horror developer Bloober Team has entered into a partnership with Konami. So Bloober Team has announced a, quote, strategic partnership, end quote, with Konami. Bloober Team is mostly known for developing the Layers of Fear series, as well as 2019's Blair Witch game. The studio recently worked on The Medium, a psychological horror game recently released on the Xbox Series X/S as a timed exclusive. It's coming to the PS5 later this year, but we're not here to talk about The Medium specifically. In all honesty, the announcement post from Bloober was really just vague. Like, there's a lot of just word salad, I guess.
It's just
the best way to put it.
They didn't really say what they're doing. They just said that they're, you know, kind of like contributing information back and forth.
It's the generic.
Yeah.
And while a lot of these are, I'm sure, are very genuine, but it's the generic, like, we're very thrilled and happy to join this family.
Yeah.
And we're really thrilled and happy to partner up with them and stuff like that. That's what it kind of felt like in that blog post.
Yeah, it's like the boilerplate PR kind of response to, you know, whenever a merger or something happens. That's what it felt like.
Exactly. However, we want to turn our attention to a VGC report on the story. So VGC is reporting that, quote, according to people with knowledge of Bloober's plans, one of the projects it's working on is Silent Hill related, end quote. VGC would later say, quote, however, VGC understands that Konami has already outsourced at least one other Silent Hill project to a prominent developer in Japan, and there could even be more developers working on their own projects, end quote. But wait, there's more. Back in February, Game Industry Biz spoke with Bloober Team CEO Peter Babiano. I really hate pronouncing these names because I always feel like I got them wrong. I think I actually got that one right.
That seems
right. So Babiano was talking about The Medium and teased the studio was working on another IP in the horror genre. He said, quote, in fact, we've been working for more than a year on another gaming project, another horror IP, and we're doing this with a very famous gaming publisher. I can't tell you who, I can't tell you what that project is, but I'm pretty sure when people realize we're working on it, they will be very excited, end quote. And before we dive into all this, I'm so sorry. This is a long story, and it has a lot to get into. We got to quickly talk about Konami. So this has been reported on before, but now it seems that the publisher is starting to outsource their IPs to other developers. VGC is also reporting that Konami has outsourced development for new Castlevania and new Metal Gear Solid games, but, quote, any potential releases are still years away, end quote. Let's get peeled back to layers here, Riley. First, what are your thoughts on the partnership between Bloober Team and Konami?
Yeah, so I don't have too many thoughts about it because we don't know what's happening yet, but the sort of connection to Silent Hill, I think, is really interesting that, you know, maybe Konami is contracting out with Bloober Team. Maybe they are working on, so Bloober Team said that they are working on another game in the horror genre, another IP. Maybe Konami is going to help them out with that, and then after that comes out, maybe my thought is maybe they'll, you know, work on a Silent Hill game with them. That would be really interesting. Yeah, I don't really know.
Yeah, it feels like the partnership itself is just like a okay, but then once you get into the VGC report on it all and on Bloober potentially being behind a new Silent Hill game, that's where things like really start to like heat up here. Possibly even like maybe this is a Silent Hill reboot or something like that. Is that something you'd like to see?
Yeah, so like I've never played any of the Silent Hill games, to be completely honest. I've always wanted to get into them, but if it's a soft reboot, that's something that I'm interested in, just because like that seems like a really good jumping on point. And there are rumors circulating around that they are, you know, Konami is working basically on two Silent Hill projects. One of which would be something in the style of like Until Dawn, and the other one would be more of a soft reboot of the Silent Hill series, more akin to Silent Hill, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think that also goes with a lot of this VGC report. I'm kind of with you. Did you not play PT?
No, I never played PT, unfortunately.
I feel like that is the most like popular game that has never released.
Yeah,
and it's not even really a full fledged game. It's just a concept demo for a game, and ever since it's like taken on a life of its own.
Yeah, because you can't play it anymore, and it's this like mythical thing, and it's a sort of a mythical thing within the gaming industry, right? Because you can't play it anymore. So yeah, I never got to play it. I distinctly remember when it came out and all of the hubbub around it, and I was like, you know, maybe I'll download it later. Well, that didn't work out really.
Yeah, that ended up being a very wrong decision on your end, because the game would later be removed from PlayStation stores, and I believe like consoles that have PT are like being sold for like high prices.
Yeah.
Like that's how popular, and like, hey, this is a relic now to have that game and have it be playable.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm kind of with you. I'd be down for any kind of reboot. I'm trying to hold off to this last question we have here, because that's where I'm really going to get into the meat of the story, go back to Silent Hill. So let's just move on to the next question. Any ideas on who this unknown Japanese publisher could be? I have absolutely no idea here.
Yeah, unfortunately, me neither. The story is just too vague, I guess.
Yeah, it's like enough here to where you're like, yeah, I'm in. You know what? A Silent Hill game. Konami's outsourcing it. Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But other than that, it's just like, okay, there's nothing else to work with.
It's like, can you tell me more, please? Yeah.
Finally, let's get into Konami. Konami could be are they making the right call by outsourcing all these IPs? I personally think they are, because this is actually mentioned in the report that after the failures of the most recent Konami games, that's what's kind of like they've eased up on, hey, you know what, how about we outsource our games, because we haven't been doing a great job. And I think that's a great call, because it's a truth there. They haven't been doing a great job in their games as of late.
I think this is the right call, and I think it's a really, like, for a long time, Konami just wasn't making video games. They were too interested in pachinko machines. And during that time, I remember people were begging for Konami to at least license their IP out to somebody else who would kind of take over, you know, those series that we hadn't seen for a while. And, you know, they wouldn't do it. And now they are, you know, doing that, which I think is a really good idea, because if you want to see more Castlevania, more Metal Gear, you know, more Silent Hill, possibly, I think I don't really trust Konami to be delivering the experiences that fans want out of those series.
Well, look at it. Metal Gear wasn't Metal Gear Survive.
Yeah.
That game. And you're like, okay, what does Konami get now that Kojima's gone? And you look at that game and you're like, they don't get much.
Yeah.
They don't get much at all. Like, is anybody else available to make this kind of game? So, yeah, I agree with you 100%. I feel like this is a great call by Konami to potentially outsource a lot of their good IPs to where some other great studios can make them. I think Bloober Team would be a fantastic choice for a Silent Hill game. I think people have been really wanting a new Silent Hill game. Now, granted, they have wanted a certain iconic developer to make that game, who was also associated with Konami. But it appears that that might not be in the cards, and that makes a lot of sense as well. But at the same time, it's still something I think people would be 100% behind. A new Silent Hill game, a new developer, see what a new kind of direction this franchise can go. Because we've seen other horror game franchises, like, you know, Resident Evil, that have taken this soft reboot concept and ran with it, and it's been a massive success for them so far. So I think having a studio like Bloober Team could really end up being, you know, a great call by them, because I think a lot of people believe the medium wasn't fantastic, but it was like on the right track. And same thing for like Blair Witch. It feels like they're almost there. They're just missing something. And it might be Silent Hill, that IP to play with.
Yeah. The only shame of this story is that we aren't getting like the PT full experience, but you're right. Like, I think that, you know, giving this to a team that is known, or if they were to give Silent Hill to anybody, I think giving it to a team that is known specifically for developing horror games, I mean, obviously that's a really good idea. And I haven't played the medium, so I can't say much to the quality of it. I haven't played the Blair Witch game either, but yeah, I don't know. I'm just super excited.
Yeah, most definitely. I cannot wait to learn more about either of those properties happening, if it ends up happening, with Silent Hill and who that mysterious Japanese developer could be, because it would be really cool if they did like an Until Dawn kind of game too.
Yeah.
But let's move on to our next story, and that is Sony acquires Returnal developer Housemarque. So via a PlayStation blog post, Sony revealed that they have finally acquired Housemarque. For the past decade, Housemarque has had an intensely close relationship with Sony Interactive Entertainment, developing Resogun, Alienation, Nex Machina, and Matterfall as console exclusives to various PlayStation platforms throughout the years. Most recently, the studio developed the PS5 exclusive Returnal, which was a huge critical hit for Housemarque and the recently released PlayStation console. So, Riley,
yeah,
what do you think of this story? Are you a fan of Housemarque in general? And what did you think of Returnal? I know that's like a very loaded question, by the way.
Yeah.
So kind of like the last story, let's take it layer by layer.
I think my first thoughts about this story is it's about time, right? Like, when you look at Housemarque's track record, they basically have been acting as a first-party studio for Sony since 2014, at least since 2014, with the release of Resogun for the PlayStation 4. Side note, Resogun was the first game I played on my PlayStation 4, and I absolutely loved it. And it was also the first Housemarque game that I ever played. So that game is actually what put this, you know, is what put Housemarque, it's what made me know about them, to be honest. And I haven't played Returnal yet, but it's going to be one of the first games that I play on my new PlayStation 5, because I don't know, I haven't played, you know, Alienation, Nex Machina, Matterfall, but I absolutely loved Resogun, and I know that Returnal was sort of the first game where they kind of stepped outside of their kind of arcadey roots. But from what I understand, Returnal is still quite, you know, arcadey. It's kind of like a bullet hell. It's like a third-person bullet hell, from what I've seen. And so, yeah, I mean, this just makes sense. Returnal was a huge hit for the PlayStation 5, and apparently more of a hit than I even thought it was, because I think that was, you know, the game that finally made Sony be like, all right, we will bring you into the fold, to you know, welcome to the family kind of thing. So yeah, I'm definitely excited.
Yeah, and this brings me to, I haven't played Returnal yet either. I have no kind of like affiliation really with Housemarque. The only thing I could really say about it is like, it's kind of a step in the right direction for Sony, and it does bring me to my next question here. Are you at all worried about like this acquisition? Because recently there has been some questionable behavior in regards to like how Sony treats its smaller first party studios. And what I mean by that is PlayStation doesn't necessarily put all of its support behind these smaller studios. And in contrast, I feel like what Xbox's problem up until lately has been, you guys don't have games. Can you guys release some games? Release some release dates for games? And we just saw at E3, yeah, they can. So I feel like that's Sony's thing throughout this year, that they have to figure out, like, how are you guys going to really support these smaller studios and make some great games? You guys are great at making these, like, cinematic masterpiece, like, huge AAA kind of games, but what about the smaller titles?
Yeah, I also think this is a step in the right direction for Sony as of late. It's kind of a shame because the Sony that I want back is the Sony from 2013, 2014, where, you know, they had just come off of, you know, eating a lot of humble pie over the PlayStation 3, and they were trying to get a lot of support from gamers when the PlayStation 4 launched. And the way that they did that is, you know, they gave a lot of support to indie studios, and, you know, they really, you know, kind of tried to lift up smaller independent games for the PlayStation 4 at the beginning of the PlayStation 4 life cycle. And that's kind of the Sony that I want back. It's really funny because, like, you only start to see, you know, behavior from these companies when they come off of, you know, a bad cycle, right? So PlayStation 3, even though by the end of the console it was outselling the Xbox 360, many people consider that to be a complete failure. PlayStation 4 comes out and they're supporting all these smaller studios. They're doing things that we want them to do. PlayStation 4 is a huge success. And now PlayStation 5 is coming out and they only want to support Naughty Dog, basically, and their bigger studios again. So, like, maybe when the PlayStation 6 comes out, they will want to, you know, start to support smaller studios again. But I think them acquiring Housemarque is, you know, maybe a sign that, like, they are headed back in that direction where they are giving a lot of support to smaller studios and, you know, smaller I don't want to say bite size, but smaller games that are just different than giant, you know, tentpole games.
Well, let's be honest here. Like, people are loving the PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
The PlayStation, for years, since the beginning of the PS4 era, it feels like, has really nailed the bigger games. So I'm not saying, like, hey, you don't have a problem here, but they're doing all the big things right.
Yes. To me.
A lot of them. Not all of them. Don't get me wrong. They still have they're a little hesitant on a lot of things here that both Xbox and Nintendo have been like, yeah, we'll do that. But where I think they could really improve is taking this year and next year and being like, okay, everybody doesn't think we support these indie studios, these smaller studios. Watch this. And just kind of focus on that a little bit. Let the studios are working on your God of Wars and your Spider-Man 2s. Just let them work. Let them do their thing. And just put the focus on kind of these smaller... See, it sounds a little demeaning when you say it like that, but, I mean, it's kind of the truth. These smaller studios, these smaller indie games, kind of give them that support I think they need. That I think, you know, you've seen in the past, it really could work out in your favor.
Yeah, I just think it's a good business strategy also because, you know, Sony probably has 2, maybe 3 tentpole games every year. And so, you know, I think it's just, it makes sense to fill out the rest of the year, you know, with kind of smaller things to kind of, you know, like whet the appetite before the big tentpole releases happen for, you know, each year. I just think that that makes a lot of sense to me.
Most definitely. You got anything else to add before we move on?
No, I think we covered it.
So you mentioned the PS6, the PlayStation 6, and that might be when we see GTA 6 ever hit our screens, I guess. So let's cap off our main stories this week, talking about possibly the most anticipated game of all time at this point, Grand Theft Auto 6. Tom Henderson, a notable insider who primarily reports on Call of Duty and Battlefield news, recently posted a video on what he's heard about the game. And before we get into this, everything we're going to mention should be taken as a rumor for now. Also, Henderson flat out says this multiple times in his video as well. So, Henderson was told that GTA 6 will be set in modern-day Vice City due to GTA Online. The modern setting will apparently give developers more freedom while making content. Previous rumors suggested that GTA 6 would take place in the 1980s. Along with this, Henderson suggests the modern-day Vice City could be an evolving map. Henderson said this was compared to Fortnite seasons. GTA 6 will also reportedly feature multiple characters, like GTA 5, and one of those protagonists will be a female character, which, if I'm remembering correctly, would be a first for the franchise.
Yeah, I think you're
finally,
right.
Finally, I'm pretty sure that would be right. But regardless, finally, Henderson talked about the release date, and this is probably the part you've seen all over the place on social media over the past week. Contrary to all the headlines you'll see on the internet right now, and all the talk on the internet, Henderson never explicitly says that GTA 6 is releasing in 2025. Instead, Henderson suggested that 2023, 2024, or 2025 could be possible release windows for Grand Theft Auto 6 because of Rockstar's apparent shift in culture to avoid crunch and a desire to avoid any delays. Basically, when they announce this release date, Rockstar wants to stick to it, is what was said in the video here. Furthermore, Henderson says that GTA 6 will be a current-gen only title, meaning Xbox Series X/S, PS5, and of course PC. So, this is another story that's just completely loaded here, Riley.
Yeah.
What do you make of these rumors? Just face value, what do you think?
Yeah, so I think most of this isn't really, like, too crazy. I'm not, like, my jaw isn't, you know, hitting the floor. A lot of this stuff just makes sense for them. I think the thing that I'm most excited for is actually seeing a female character, a playable female character. And I think Tom Henderson says in his video that she's going to be kind of like a hacker type. So I'm interested in that. You know, I'm just, my favorite part of GTA is just the, like, the story, basically. I played a lot of GTA 5, but I didn't play the thing that everybody plays now, which is online. I just, you know, kind of went through the story, and that's what I'm excited for the next GTA game, is just, like, who are the characters, what is the setting, you know, and I guess that's it.
Yeah, I personally, I'm nobody bats a thousand when it comes to reporting, leaking, anything like that. So, but I generally do think Tom Henderson gets a lot of things right. And everybody was right after this going like, oh, 2025, GTA 6 is coming out in 2025. And I'm like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't think Tom Henderson's going to be right with that one. But then I watched the video, I'm like, oh, he didn't say that at all. It was one of the dates that was, you know, hey, they're going to take their time with this. They're going to announce a release, and it's going to hit that release. And it makes a lot of sense. Everything that was said here makes a lot of sense, like you said, Riley. And I kind of like a lot of this. Like, I don't think it's going to release in 2025. I think Rockstar note, even with like the shift in culture and the wanting to avoid any delays, even with all that in mind, which also isn't, I don't think, confirmed to all be a thing, it's Rockstar knows this is the most anticipated game of all time. They know, like, hey, you got to release it before 2025. Like, you get the PS6 will probably, you know, be talked about in 2025,
which is so crazy to think.
The Xbox Series Z, or I don't know, whatever they end up calling it, I don't know, but that will probably be talked about as well. Not a thing, but it'll probably be when people start going like, hey, when's the next one coming? Because, you know, that happens all the time.
Yeah.
But it, all this kind of just makes sense. The internet was losing their minds, and I'm like, okay. Like, Vice City in modern day, I kind of figured that with GTA Online being such a big thing, why would you limit yourself by setting it in the 1980s? Whether you love them or hate them, those futuristic vehicles are big things for GTA Online. I personally don't really care for them, and it kind of is a little upsetting that it probably will continue with GTA 6. The female character, I think that is something else that is like, yeah, I definitely could see Rockstar doing that. Part of me was like, I kind of thought they'd do it with GTA 5 with three playable characters. So if they're going to especially do, hey, we're multiple characters again, yeah, sounds like a great idea. And I'm like you, Riley, I'm really into like the story of GTA because I always love, like, they're very satire.
Oh, yeah.
Heavy. And you just think, oh, the last one was in 2013. Oh, that's 8 years.
Yeah.
8 years so far to this episode's recording, and just you have even longer because, you know, this game's not coming out in 2021. You're like, oh, they're going to have a field day with everything. Like, they're going to have so much fun writing these scripts and whatever it's going to be. I cannot wait to, like, play the story. My one concern, though, is with GTA Online being such a big deal, do you think that might affect, like, how long the story is?
So, that's something that I'm worried about, is that they're going to focus everything into GTA Online and sort of leave the story, you know, kind of half-baked. Because this is the first release post-GTA Online. I mean, when GTA 5 came out, it didn't even have the online version for a long, long time. I can't remember how long it was before the online, before GTA Online got added to it, but,
I think it was a month after release.
Yeah.
And it released in a broken state, like, yeah, completely broken state.
I guess, yeah, it was just, like, not good. I remember trying to do heists back then, and they just didn't work. But
heists, I think they were released in 2015, like,
oh,
that's
okay.
The other thing, like, they promised a heist and they were like, oh, it's not gonna be at launch, and then just months and months pass. Yeah. And you're like, where are the heists? The thing that you said were a big feature in the online. So yeah, you do also, whether you love GTA Online or hate it, you can see, like, the progression and, like, oh, there's this much content here now.
Yeah.
And it's making a bunch of money for Rockstar, so that's where I'm like, okay, so how much is going to be the single player campaign? Because, you know, Red Dead is different to me. I feel like Red Dead Redemption 2 was, I feel like they take things, even though it's a little ridiculous at the same time, it feels more cinematic than,
yeah,
GTA does. It feels like it's more grounded. It's still, again, very stupid at times, but a little more grounded and a lot more stuff in it. And it's also in the Wild West.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's only so much you can do in the online mode and in single player. Towards GTA, it kind of feels like it's limitless what you can do here. So that's my big concern, is please don't just go, hey, GTA Online is very popular, screw the campaign, we're just going to focus on GTA Online and give you, like, a very short little story here.
You know, I am worried about that, but also I'm also of a different mind of that at the same time, where I think Rockstar knows that there is a, you know, a maybe not a large subset, but a good sizable enough subset who just play GTA for the story. And I think that because GTA Online is so successful and they're making so much money just from GTA Online, they can keep adding to that while they take time with the story. The way I sort of see GTA Online is like the hardcore GTA fans tend to play a lot of GTA Online, and people that just, you know, are casual GTA fans like myself just want to play the story and get the satire out of that. And I also really do hope that it's a modern setting. That seems to be, from these rumors, what it's going to be, because satire, I enjoy satire when it's satirizing an era that's happening now, or, you know, that I lived through. So, and they already did the 1980s thing. I know it was almost 20 years ago, but how much more, like, how much more comedic fuel can you get out of, you know, the 1980s? I feel like they already did that 20 years ago. So, yeah.
Plus, just creatively, it feels like, okay, you guys already did 1980s Vice City.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of era in Miami. Like, yeah, that's a thing. Everybody kind of, like, has a picture in their mind what 1980s Miami is.
Yeah.
And you guys did that with Vice City. Why go back to that in, yeah, you know, GTA 6? Instead, you could do, like, a modern-day version of it. And, yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. So, let's talk about this release date stuff. I know it's way too early, but this is a podcast. We gotta have some fun here.
Absolutely.
So, what do you make of the 2023, 2024, or 2025 release windows for GTA 6? And what is your initial prediction? Like, just, you have no, like, real info to go off of here, Riley. This is just your gut prediction. What year do you think this game will release in?
I'll split the difference and say 2024. I just think, again, because they're making money hand over fist with GTA Online, so that sort of affords them the comfort to, you know, work on this game, and they know whenever it releases, it's going to be huge. So they don't have to release it. It's something they have in their pocket, right? And you know, they're making money from a bunch of different sources, so they're not hurting for money in that sort of sense. So I think 2024.
Yeah, I keep going between 2023 and 2024.
That was my issue.
See, I don't see it being 2025. I really don't. In my heart of hearts, I think Rockstar knows, like, okay, we gotta get this out earlier than that.
Yeah.
And also, I saw someone put this, it's ridiculous, but it was like, hey, if it's released in 2025, we're gonna be walking into every building, right? Because
yeah,
that's the expectation at that point.
We better,
like,
be.
It's gonna be that detailed. And I was like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But I'm gonna go 2023. I'm gonna be the optimist here.
Okay.
And say 2022. It could. Yeah, I can see that. I can see 2022 an announcement, a late 2023 release date for the game, and it just break all sorts of records. Because, you know, well, I strongly believe this and Elder Scrolls 6 are the two most anticipated games probably ever. That will be, for especially with Elder Scrolls, whenever it gets closer to release. Yeah, anything else to add?
No, just that it's very interesting, both of those games, because they are both, you know, GTA 6 and Elder Scrolls 6 are, you know, the follow-ups to the biggest game in their franchises, respectively. So that's really, and I totally agree with you that those are the two most anticipated games, maybe of all time.
Yeah, and speaking of Elder Scrolls 6, Todd Howard says Elder Scrolls 6 is still in its design phase. So in a recent interview with The Telegraph, Bethesda's Todd Howard was talking about Starfield, Elder Scrolls 6, and the new Creation Engine 2. Elder Scrolls 6 and Starfield will run on Creation Engine 2, by the way. Here is a snippet of the interview. Special thanks to Eurogamer, by the way, for transcribing these quotes. And, quote, "The new Starfield technology, Creation Engine 2, is sort of built for both. It's like a new tech base. The vast majority of our development work is on Starfield right now, but everybody works on everything, so the projects kind of intertwine," end quote. For those hoping to see a surprise Elder Scrolls 6 gameplay reveal or more on the game, here's where you may be a little disappointed. So Howard went on to say, quote, "It's good to think of the Elder Scrolls 6 as still being in a design phase. But we're checking the tech. Is this going to handle the things we want to do in that game? Every game will have some new suites of technology, so Elder Scrolls 6 will have some additions on to Creation Engine 2 that the game is going to require." And quote, Bethesda initially revealed Elder Scrolls 6 and Starfield at E3 2018, by the way. Let's get this out of the way, Riley. Are you disappointed to hear that Elder Scrolls 6 is so early in its development still?
Not really. I'm not super disappointed. I don't know. I just, when they announced Elder Scrolls 6, I knew it would be forever until the game came out. And you know what? With Skyrim, they have earned that right. Take as long as you want with this game. That's how I feel. When it releases, I will be super excited. I will be there day one. But I'm not particularly, you know, super pining for a new Elder Scrolls game. Like, if I want that, then I will just go play Skyrim right now. So I'm not super disappointed.
It's weird because GTA 6 and Elder Scrolls are kind of in similar... Like, oh, so it's very early in development here. We don't know when it's going to ever release, but there are these highly anticipated games. But I kind of feel differently. I like feel more lenient towards Elder Scrolls 6 here. Towards like GTA 6, I'm like, it's 2013.
Yeah.
Was the last game. Come on now. And with Elder Scrolls, it's actually been 2 years on top of that. Elder Scrolls 5 released in 2011.
Yep.
I believe with Skyrim. So... it's weird to kind of feel like I'm being easier on Bethesda here, but I'm kind of just like, yeah, we got Starfield coming out. It's going to have this new engine. Let's see what that is and see the improvements they can make from that to Elder Scrolls. I'm just really glad they're doing a new engine. I really am. Yeah. I feel like a lot of people, for years, Bethesda has been under fire for the studio's game engine. Are you excited to hear that the studio is building a new one for Starfield and Elder Scrolls 6?
Yeah, this was... So, this story to me was just funny at first. You know, the headline is funny to me. Because, of course, it's still in the design phase. Is anybody really surprised? So, that made the headline made me laugh. But when I dug into the article, the sort of interesting thing about it is that they are working on sort of like... the new engine, which will power Starfield and Elder Scrolls 6 and, you know, probably every Bethesda game going forward. So that is interesting because, like you said, Bethesda has been under fire for a long time for their broken engine. And they're finally fixing it. So this is sort of like...
their old engine was like, yeah, they make improvements.
Yeah.
But I was like putting a Band-Aid on a dam that was about to like burst. Like, what's the point? Like, this whole thing at its foundation, like, it's not working.
Yeah.
And so it's just really good to hear like, oh, so they're doing a completely new thing for these games. Okay. That's a kind of exciting.
It's sort of Bethesda 2.0 is kind of the way I'm thinking of it. I am a little bit worried that the games might lose some of what makes a game a Bethesda game, which is that jankiness. most of the jankiness that I have run into in, you know, Bethesda games has not been game breaking. That's been my personal experience, or frustrating. It's actually been, for the most part, funny, and, you know, it adds a little bit of charm to the game for me personally. But I know a lot of people, you know, have a lot of problems with Bethesda games, specifically for, you know, the jankiness that was caused by their old engine. So I think it's, you know, a good business move, at least. Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like you're toeing the line. If I don't mean to feel like I'm coming at you here, but it feels like you could toe a line, though, between being like, yeah, I kind of feel like it will lose that Bethesda flavor.
Yeah.
But also it feels like you're kind of giving the excuse that, like, yeah, Bethesda have the bugs and everything, you know what I mean? That makes a Bethesda game Bethesda game. Like, you don't want that. I want it to be just more fluid and everything like that.
Totally. But
part of me also gets what you're saying at the same time. So, I don't know. I'm just very excited to see, like, a new engine, like, coming to both Starfield and Elder Scrolls 6. But we will have to wait probably a long time to hear anything really official about the game. I think that's the big thing. I think that's where I'm more lenient on Elder Scrolls 6. Like, I know it's, like, there. It was announced.
Yeah.
I don't think they probably should have announced it in 2018. That was like Bethesda didn't have anything to show, and they're like, well, we're going to make a new Elder Scrolls game, aren't we? We are.
Of course we are.
Just throw it. Throw it out there. The fans will go crazy. Go ahead and do it. And after that, they're like, well, I guess we're making a new Elder Scrolls game now.
And man,
that's what it kind of felt like.
That was a
GTA.
Yeah, that was a nothing announcement.
It was a nothing. Just like kind of Starfield was too.
Yes.
Like, both of those games were nothing announcements that you're like, okay, what else you got? Nothing for like years and years. All right, that why?
At least
like GTA, like, I know it exists.
Yeah.
And Rockstar is just not saying anything about it, and I think that's what aggravates me. At the same time, like, as much as it pains me to see those nothing announcements, I know it exists. The publisher announced it.
Yeah.
Rockstar is sitting there with GTA 6, and they're like, well, we got the GTA 5 current gen ports coming in soon, and this GTA Online content, and I'm just sitting there at home with my dumb mind, and I'm like, you guys know what you're doing here. Like, you can announce GTA 6 anytime you want. You can say anything about the game, but no, you're acting like it just doesn't exist.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, so let's move on to our last story of the day, which are more reports emerge on a new Dead Space game. So on last week's episode of the Nerd Stash Show, which you should definitely check out, it was a pretty good one, we talked about a few reports from around the internet that basically said EA and Motive Studio are working on a new Dead Space game. The story originated from GamesBeat Decides podcast with insiders Jeff Grubb and Mike Minotti. Basically, they mentioned that EA was reviving an old IP and vaguely hinted that the IP is Dead Space. And when I say vaguely hinted, I mean they very vaguely hinted that it might be Dead Space. Gamatsu and Eurogamer would later report on this, confirming that a new Dead Space game is in development, and it would be a reimagining of the classic franchise. Now, Jeff Grubb has shed some light on the story in a new GamesBeat report. According to Grubb, quote, Motive is rebooting the franchise with a full-fledged remake, end quote. Grubb later goes on to say that Motive Studio is taking cues from Capcom's Resident Evil remakes and using the remakes as a blueprint for success. And Grubb went on to say, quote, like Resident Evil 2 Remake, expect the next Dead Space to use the original game as a strong foundation, but it should also have modern visuals, and it will likely bring in new gameplay mechanics inspired by other entries in the franchise, end quote. Grubb also mentions that EA may be changing its mind on single-player games after the success of Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. I don't want to speak too much on this because I talked about it last week with Michael O'Reilly, but what are your thoughts on Dead Space coming back, and are you down with a game getting a remake?
I'm actually kind of excited about this. So I have played, you know, the first Dead Space game. I never played any of the sequels, but I distinctly remember when the game came out. I don't remember what year it was, but I was young. And it scared the shit out of me. Like, I don't think there's only one game that I remember playing that scared me maybe more than Dead Space, and that is Fear. Just because I was young and impressionable, and I used to, when I was a kid, I used to really not like
Fear 2 is the scariest thing I've ever played in my life.
It's terrifying. When I was a kid, I actually didn't like anything horror, so I don't know why I was playing Dead Space. But now that I'm a little bit older and I'm really into horror, I'd like to go back and actually like go through the whole game, because I think I got to the point where like the creatures started coming out of like the walls, and I was like, nope, not gonna play this anymore. And I didn't play it for years and years after that. So I'm down for a remake. Why not?
Yeah. To kind of like do the same thing I did in the last story. It's kind of funny that like, yeah, I'm down for this remake or this reboot. And then we go to Nerdstop Movies and it's like, it's another movie reboot for real. Like, is Hollywood, do they have any original ideas? And then just the juxtaposition of like going here and being like, you know, this Dead Space remake. But yeah, I'm kind of really down for this remake. I think it is quickly becoming, especially with Jeff Grubb's article here over at VentureBeat, the worst kept secret EA has.
Yeah.
Like, last week you had Eurogamer and Gamatsu kind of pick up on it and be like, yeah, it's going to be this reimagining and we can verify it. And then, yeah, this week it was kind of just that 100% confirmation. Like, okay, so we are definitely getting that Dead Space reboot. Yeah, I think it's a very good idea, though. I really do. I think that I mentioned this last week. I think Dead Space was one of those franchises that, why did it die out so quickly? Like, it only got 3 games, and I was like, okay, you have all these other franchises out there that get like 5 or 6 titles, and Dead Space is so beloved. And it only gets 3 just because I guess the 3rd game wasn't as successful. Like, what?
Yeah, it's definitely, I agree with you. It's a series that shouldn't have died out. But now, you know, maybe it's good that it kind of died out for a while, because now people are like really excited for it to come back, even if it's just a remake. I actually find it interesting what you said about like movie remakes versus game remakes. I think, you know, it's more exciting when a game is being remade, because it's kind of bringing that game up to modern standards as far as, you know, gameplay and all that stuff. But, so I'm excited for that. I sort of would rather, I don't know, as excited as I am for a remake, I sort of would rather them take this series in a new direction, whether that be Dead Space 4 or just like a completely, like maybe a soft reboot or something with like a new character, a new main character in a, you know, maybe a slightly different setting or something.
I mean, remake and reboots, they kind of go hand in hand these days.
Yeah.
But just reading in between the tea leaves here, it kind of to me feels more like a soft reboot.
Okay.
Then, I mean, that's just the way, like I'm saying, I don't know. We'll see whenever the game eventually gets announced.
Yeah.
It might just be straight up like, yeah, we're remaking it. But also kind of feels like it's straight up like, we're going to remake it and see how that does successfully.
Yeah.
If it ends up being successful, guess what? We're making our Dead Space. And I think this goes back, and this is another thing that's a big reason why. I mentioned like, yeah, Dead Space died. Why did it die out? Because the 3rd one wasn't very good. But it also has to do with EA's stance on single player games.
Yeah.
And I think that's something I didn't address last week. That is a huge reason why. And it was because a few years ago, EA came out and essentially were like, no, we know where the gaming industry is going. It's going to multiplayer games. Single player games are dead, is essentially what they said. And they were wrong.
Yeah.
Like 100,000% wrong in that statement. And as soon as Jedi Fallen Order releases and they're like, wow, we can have success with single player games again, it feels like they are going right back into it. We see that they're making a Mass Effect game. We see that, you know, they're going with Dragon Age again. By the way, I think they did confirm that Mass Effect will not be at EA Play Live. I will have to look that up. But, yeah, what are your thoughts on, like, EA kind of backtracking here? Is it the right call for you?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I'm much more, as personally, I like single-player experiences much more than multiplayer experiences on the whole. I do think for a little while they were right that sort of the industry was going in sort of like a multiplayer only kind of direction. But if there's one thing that I've learned about the gaming industry is it always rubber bands, right? As soon as, you know, companies start making multiplayer only or multiplayer focused experiences, people get upset that they're not getting single player experiences. So when the single player experiences do come out, they, you know, are hungry for them and snatch them up and, you know, buy them. Like, I think that's what happened with Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. People were like, oh, a Star Wars single player experience is, we haven't had something like that in a while. And a lot of people bought it. I love that game. And so now,
well, Visceral's canceled Star Wars game is beloved because it kind of like PT in a way, it just never happened.
Yeah.
Like, and you saw Amy Hennig was buying it, yep. And you're like, wow, it kind of feels like this was this heist Uncharted-ish Star Wars game. That sounds freaking awesome. So, yeah, it just feels like those single-player games really gravitate towards players nowadays. And it kind of stems from EA's stance, from them being so, like, adamant. Like, no, the live service games are where it's at.
Yeah, I think...
And obviously, it's not.
I think what they, like... What EA was saying was, like, single-player games are dead forever. And in the gaming industry, nothing is dead forever, right? Like, I'm here to say single-player games will be, you know, a part of the gaming industry for forever.
They're going to outlive me. I can guarantee that.
Yeah.
Like, I will put money on it. Like, single-player games as, like, yeah, being a dominant thing in video games will outlive me.
Absolutely. Just because, you know, even if you like multiplayer experiences, which I do, there's nothing like just having, it's just you and the game, and that's it. That's the part of gaming that I like, that I love, actually. So yeah.
Yeah, and by the way, BioWare did come out and say today that Dragon Age and Mass Effect will not be at EA Play Live, and they are working on both games at the moment. So that is great to hear that they're working on it. It is sad also to hear that we won't hear anything from those games, but it's okay. We are definitely getting a Dead Space revival, no matter how much EA wants to just deny it, because at this point, I mean, it really is their worst kept secret. Like, come on now. Let's go ahead and wrap up. Let's get out of here, Riley. Let's talk about what we're working on and where can people find us. So, Riley, what are you working on and where can people find you?
Yeah, I'm not working on much of anything of note, but you can find me in the Discord. So, yeah, that's it.
You can find me over at Taylor_Cole55 on Twitter. I'm working on this show here, the Nerd Stash Show. I'm also working on Nerd's Top Movies. We're going to have a fantastic episode. We're probably going to be talking about some Spider-Man stuff because some stuff just got leaked because of Legos, which that's kind of funny to say out loud. I also sometimes write for Modern Warzone. .com. You should definitely check that out as well. And I actually have something brewing over there. We are gonna be doing something pretty cool with Modern Warzone, and it might include a podcast. So I cannot wait to talk about that more and all that kind of stuff. So let's get out of here, Riley. I want to thank you for joining me this week and typing up the show notes. I want to thank anyone for listening in, whether it was for 5 minutes or the whole episode. Don't know how you do it. You can check us out over on Twitter at NerdStashShow. Consider leaving us a review. We'd greatly appreciate it. We'd really appreciate it if it was a positive review. Just saying. Like, you don't have to, but leave us a positive review. All right. Finally, be sure to check out thenerdstash.com. There's some fantastic writers over there doing some great things. But that does it for this week's episode of the Nerd Stash Show. We'll see you next week.